This is Second Look, only on 103.3 WZND. Here to take a second look at the stories the WZND Newsroom has covered this week. Investigative reporting from the award-winning WZND News Team, here for you. Unbiased, engaging, and comprehensive. Second Look starts now.
Happy Sunday, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Second Look. I'm Rachel Deerfield.
And I'm Caitlin Wittes. Today we will be discussing an honor society at Heartland Community College, local news and events, as well as ISU sports. Recently, Heartland Community College's Phi Theta Kappa chapter welcomed 12 new members. PTK is an international honor society available for students at two-year colleges. Dr. Matt Felimley, Distinguished Professor of English at Heartland and Faculty Advisor to PTK, discussed opportunities provided through membership.
So Phi Theta Kappa is the International Honor Society for two-year colleges. They've been around for over 100 years, and the point of PTK is it serves students who are looking to transfer to four-year universities, and so it helps them kind of build a more competitive resume when they're looking to transfer. There are also all kinds of scholarships available to over 800 four-year colleges and universities, and there are about, 1,300 or so chapters of PTK, Phi Theta Kappa, internationally, most of those in the United States.
Great, and what are some of the requirements to be inducted?
Well, at Heartland, we have an honors program that is related to, but kind of separate from, Phi Theta Kappa. So for PTK, the requirements are mostly grade point average oriented, just maintaining that GPA throughout your two-year college experience. Makes you eligible for PTK membership and graduating with a PTK designation on your transcript, which can help for a transfer as well. Heartland also has an honors program, which is related to PTK. It's for students who are PTK eligible, basically, and it's more or less for students who are looking to go sort of above and beyond just membership in PTK and also get involved in some research projects and community service projects and things like that.
I know you touched on this a little bit, but what are some of the benefits of joining?
Well, PTK and the Honors Program are, again, related, but a little bit separate. For PTK, students graduate with, they have kind of special regalia that they get at graduation, and they can earn medals and awards for scholastic and leadership achievements, and they can get research and writings and projects published. Students who are enrolled in PTK at their community college seems like about three times more likely to complete an associate's degree and transfer then on to a four-year college. Yeah, there's all kinds of scholarships available. There's an annual conference that most chapters travel to. We usually take five or six students to the conference where they get to network. There's a transfer fair. They get to build leadership skills. In the club, we have a president, a student president, vice president, treasurer, publicity. So students also get chances to build some of those leadership skills and soft skills that can help them compete, you know, for scholarships or eventually in the job market and things like that. There's also training, professional development opportunities that students have through the PTK website. And that's all just the PTK side. So the Heartland Honor side is, again, kind of related to that, but also separate.
Great. And then what is your role in Phi Theta Kappa at Heartland?
I am a PTK alum from my days at McHenry County College in Northern Illinois, and currently I'm in my third year as the faculty advisor to the program, which just means that I teach the two seminar courses each semester that go along with Heartland's honors program, and I also help administer a little bit to the PTK side of things. There's usually one of the faculty advisors travels with students to conferences and helps them with scholarships and college applications and things like that. We also have an academic advisor who is just those students' primary contact for like the administrative side or making sure the classes they're taking are going to transfer effectively to the school that they want to attend or things like that.
All right. And if students are interested in Phi Theta Kappa, how can they find out more information about that?
If students are eligible for PTK at Heartland, they will get email from Heartland Honors letting them know that they're eligible and letting them know the next steps towards applying. There is a membership fee. I believe it's $85. It might be $100. And for students who also enroll in Heartland's honors courses, the college covers that PTK fee for those students. If anybody wanted to contact Sarah Bork at Heartland, I can give you her email if you want it later, but she's the direct contact. If you're eligible and want to apply or want to join, then we do have a specific point person for that. And we also have an honors page on Heartland's website.
That's great. You answered all my questions, but do you have any more information that you think would be important to share?
Yeah, I think so. In terms of eligibility criteria, students with no previous college coursework or students coming to Heartland directly from high school can join honors directly upon coming to Heartland. There's an ACT, a benchmark they can meet, or an SAT. There's a high school GPA cumulative that they can meet. They can get a letter of recommendation from a high school teacher. So it's not only for students who already have credit hours. It seems like most students join in their second semester once they kind of get their feet wet in college. But we do have some students who come in directly out of high school or directly in from another institution and are able to join PTK and get up and running in the honors program. And also there's sort of an honors transfer agreement between Heartland and ISU. And so the idea is that if you complete the honors program at Heartland, then you are directly admitted into the honors program also at ISU. And we have transfer agreements like that with many other colleges, and we're looking to build out that list of colleges that will take direct transfer of our students from Heartland Honors into the honors program at that school, which then helps students get acclimated and gives them a higher chance of academic success at their new institution as well.
Phi Theta Kappa aims to provide students with more educational opportunities and connections to build strong resumes.
Now, Caitlin, I know that you covered this story for WZND. Exactly what did you learn from Dr. Matt Fellowman?
Yeah, I definitely learned a lot of good, useful information. Personally, as someone that goes to a four-year university, this doesn't affect me much.
Right.
But I think it's really cool to know that there are opportunities for students who go to those two-year universities, because I learned that you could get scholarships, make connections. They went to conferences to meet other people in this community. So I think it's definitely very rewarding. And I really appreciated the part where Dr. Fellowman discusses the honors program transfer agreements, because I think that that's awesome that you're able to get those experiences and those awards and scholarships and all those things from the two-year university, and now you have the opportunity to go to a four-year university and take those skills and resume items that you've built before.
Right, and you kind of touched on it a little bit, but what are some of the benefits of being in PTK while transitioning into a four-year university?
I think that just based on what I've heard and kind of the research I've done on my own, it definitely shows that you learn time management skills, responsibility when it comes to academics, how to take academics seriously through being in that kind of educational honor society. So I think that it's definitely beneficial to have those skills and those connections built before thinking about moving forward. And I think that that's a really good opportunity educationally.
Well, thank you so much for that, Caitlin. I appreciate it. In other local news, as fall approaches, Raider Family Farms opens to the public today. The farm includes the classics like an apple orchard, a corn maze, and sweet treats. On top of that, the farm offers events like Grandparents' Day, visiting options for Illinois State RSOs, and other group ticketing opportunities.
Last week, the Positively Stress-Free event series returned to ISU's campus. The event takes place at Milner Library for students to stop by during study breaks. Every dog present for students is a certified therapy animal. Petting dogs can reduce the body's stress hormones, relaxing blood pressure and the mind. The event takes place sporadically throughout the next few months, with more information available on ISU's website.
Announced on Friday, Springfield is in the running for a grand prize in America's Transportation Awards, which is the top honor for the state departments of transportation. The project was recognized for improving safety, mobility, and quality of life. Springfield could win up to $20,000 in prize money, which could go towards a charity or a transportation-related scholarship. The winners will be announced on November 19th.
The town of Normal is making the intersection of Beaufort Street and Broadway Avenue a four-way stop to improve road safety. The busy intersection has brought up concerns from drivers and pedestrians due to the limited visibility and traffic. The change will go into effect on Tuesday and aims to limit potential accidents from occurring.
We will be right back with Second Look after this short break.
You're listening to Second Look, only on WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look on WZND. In case you've missed it so far, we've talked about an honor society at Heartland Community College, local events at Raider Farms and Miller Library, and an improved road safety traffic stop.
Illinois State Volleyball played against the University of Miami in a match on Friday, with the Redbirds losing three of the four sets. WZND's Kaysen Shigothi.
Illinois State Volleyball plays host to some big names this weekend as the Linda Herman Classic returns to CEFQ Arena. I sat down with Hannah Reichensberger to talk about how the team felt about hosting such teams in front of the Redbird faithful.
I think it's super exciting. I think it's really cool for our program just to be recognized as somewhere that these teams want to come to and play against. And it's exciting, especially having Illinois on Sunday. I'm excited for the crowd that we're going to get. But I think that we can really do some really cool things this weekend, and we all believe in it.
ISU volleyball has had a storied and respected tenure in the MVC and the NCAA. Here's what Reichensberger had to say when asked about ISU's recent uptick in notoriety.
I think it's cool. I mean, I've always known that ISU is programmed to be respected. We are very successful. We play against big name schools and we beat them and compete with them. And it's a step in the right direction for our program. And it will only lead to better things in the program's future. And it's exciting to play against bigger schools that have bigger names and will bring more fans and viewers. But really, it's really high-level volleyball that we've been playing, and it's exciting that's getting recognized.
Despite the big-name opponents, ISU is riding a wave of confidence heading into this weekend. Here's what Reichensberger had to say when I asked about the team's mindset going into the weekend.
We can do it. We are a very good team, and we are very capable of competing with these teams, winning against these teams, and I think we're all just super excited. And we all have belief in each other. Vibes are super high going into the weekend. We're very excited. I think we can do some really, really cool things, and I know that we all think that.
Listen to WZND all weekend to keep up with the Redbirds throughout the Linda Herman Classic. For more information after the Classic, visit WZND.com. For WZND, I'm Kaysen Shingothi.
Despite the tough teams being faced, the Redbirds are excited to work their way through it.
On Saturday, Kaysen Shigothi and I had the call for the Illinois State versus Cincinnati volleyball matchup of the Linda Herman Volleyball Classic, where the Redbirds fell short. Here's what Coach Matters had to say on the match alongside Ariana Rossi and Nikayla Rogers.
Yeah, I just, you know, Nikayla is a physical specimen. She just has been doing really well in practice, and we've just kind of been waiting for the opportunity to give her some time. And I've talked to Nikayla in depth of like, hey, like, I want to be able to trust you, and I can't build trust with her if she's not in matches. So I think that she earned some serious trust tonight, and I thought she just raised to the really big moments when we needed her and certainly did not look like a freshman out there.
Thank you. Coach, what does it mean to you to have a up-and-coming freshman like this on your team?
Yeah, I mean, we had one last year. Kennedy had an awesome freshman year, and I knew that, you know, and Hannah was kind of in and out last year, you know, recovering from her injury. So I can't believe that my three middles are Nikayla, Hannah, and Kennedy. It's just, I wish all three of them could play at one time, and maybe we will figure out a way for them to, but it's awesome to have someone like Nikayla that looks the way she does this early in the season. And it just, the future has been bright for a while, but it puts us at ease that we have the depth that we have. And when she comes off the bench and, you know, her first start in this tournament, she hits 407.
Coach, you guys did a really nice job, especially in that second set, adjusting to Cincinnati and kind of going up with the front and attacking a little bit.
Yeah.
What do you think you saw through that third and that fourth set that kind of they were able to bring it back in and start to...
Yeah, I thought that we just stopped executing. I mean, you know, we're struggling at the pin a little bit. You know, like Ruth had a brilliant night last night, and less than 24 hours she just doesn't have a great match, you know. And then someone that played bad last night now plays good tonight, and then when they play good, then we lose Ruth, and you know, Cap is, you know, carrying a load that's just a lot, and she's struggling. fallen a little bit. So I just think it's hard when we don't have enough people playing well at the same time. So that's something that we need to work through.
When Caitlin is playing so much right now, she's out there, it seems like almost every possession.
Yep.
What are you guys trying to do to kind of give her some breaks when she can and kind of mix it up a little bit so she doesn't get tired by the third set?
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have the bodies right now to give her a break. I thought she passed so well tonight. I thought she had a great, you know, she was doing well through that, the second set, third set, and then, you know, they were on her pretty well, and we just really weren't putting her in great opportunities. But, you know, Caitlin's one of our best players, and she did really well tonight, had a double-double, so I expect great things from her.
Coach, what's this prep look like a little bit when you know you're going against someone like Sydney, who is one of the more productive hitters in the country right now?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, even when we were getting them out of system, they were still finding ways to, you know, get her the ball. And it's just like she's not that she's no different than any outside that we've played, but it was the same thing last night with Flo. It's just like you have to control your controllables. And when we're getting free balls, when we're getting easy balls, that's when we need to produce. She's going to do what she's going to do. But if we can't control what's going on our side of the net, it doesn't really matter who's over there if we can't control our own.
Where do you want to see the block? You guys have been such a good blocking team this season. And it just wasn't quite there.
Yeah. I just thought that they hit over us a lot, which I didn't think was physically possible. But I just thought that when we took away their cross, they hit line. When we went out to the pin, they hit that sharp cross. You know, when we moved our defense, they started tipping short. Like, I just thought they made an adjustment for everything that we threw at them. So I just think that we got more discouraged than, you know, just not producing. I just think that we didn't have an answer for every single thing that they threw at us.
Just looking ahead to tomorrow, you know, what do you guys have to do well to slow down? They're pretty pin heavy on the way as well. To slow down Aguayo and DeBoer.
I was pretty disappointed with our warm-up tonight. I just thought that we came out flat. We, you know, our expectation is to always win and compete, but I just think that we watched Cincinnati play Illinois however many days ago, and I think we were confident in our physicality and our ball control, that we're like, hey, like, this is a match that we need to win. This is a match that we're going to compete in. And I just thought that, I didn't think Cincinnati surprised us, but I just didn't think that we were working hard enough to match their energy. I mean, they had 10 errors. I mean, they almost hit 300 on the match. So I thought that it felt closer at times than it actually was, but we need to have a better warm-up tomorrow to even compete with Illinois.
And Coach, I was hoping you could touch on the 10 service errors that were done tonight. Is that just because girls weren't hitting their zones, or what was that exactly?
Yeah, just a little bit of everything. We were just trying to get them out of system to, you know, go get Sydney and go get their pins, but our ratio wasn't bad. We had 4 aces, 10 errors, but we have to stay aggressive. And unfortunately, with that comes service errors. I didn't love the timing of some of those errors, but it's just kind of something that happens.
Smith was seen with a brace.
Yes.
Just want to talk to you and just give us an update, please.
Yeah. She is going to see the doctor next week. She did something to her elbow. We don't really know what it is quite yet. The swelling has gone down, thank goodness. And I'm glad that it's her left and not her right. She can still brush her teeth and take notes during class. So, you know, she'll probably be out a little bit until we know more.
Despite the loss, the Redbirds are looking to come back in today's match against the Illini in the final match of the Linda Herman Volleyball Classic. But before we can think about the matchup, we have the lovely and talented Kaitlyn Shagothy here in the studio with us to discuss last night's game. First of all, thank you so much for coming on Second Look. Kaitlyn, how are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you very much.
Of course. All right, let's get this started, shall we? So, Kaitlyn, you covered the game against Miami on Friday night and then the game against Cincinnati in last night's game. What were some of the differences you saw from the Redbirds between those two games?
You know, I think the big difference I noticed personally was they came out against Cincinnati and just, I felt like it's a little sloppy. I think some of the shot decisions weren't great. And I think Cincinnati, you know, Coach Matters put it really well and said she didn't think that they surprised anybody. I just don't think the Redbirds came out as aggressive as they did against Miami, because they led the first set at one point against Miami. So I don't really think it was, an issue of Cincinnati just beating us down. I just think it was more, at least to start, I just don't think we were ready.
also absolutely saw between the first set and being kind of just sloppy defense overall, and that kind of changed and shifted going into the rest of the sets. How does that momentum switch help?
You know what? I think I don't know how much it helps, but I think it more so kind of allows for that reset and that adjustment, because when you look at two, and I think the Redbirds are a really, really talented team this year.
Yes.
I think ISU going into the match against Cincinnati, they watched Cincinnati get swept 3-0 by Illinois on Friday. And they went in there thinking that this is a match we can win. And I just don't think I don't think they were able to execute it very well. And Coach Matters herself in the post game said she wasn't really happy with how their warm up looked.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up as well.
She wasn't really happy with how they started off the day. So, you know, I'm not gonna harp on sloppy play or anything like that. That's just kind of something that's going to happen. But if you want to compete, especially with the top team in the MVC that is the UNI Panthers, they're going to need to shape up.
Totally agree with that. Ariana Rossi was in the libero spot last night for the Redbirds because of the injuries to Madison Smith and Sammy Bunch. How has this affected the Redbirds' defense?
Huge, especially since Ada is also out right now. That pretty much leaves Ariana to do the job of all liberos and Ada Schottewald. So, even when, Ada is good to go, Ariana still has a lot, but Ada's also one of the main leaders in digs on the team, even with the libero out there. So I think just overall, she's got a lot to do right now. And that can be really tough on a player when you have to do the job of several players, and it's the same spot that Caitlin Little is in right now. She also has to do the job of Ada and a little bit of Madison and a little bit of Sammy as well.
Yeah, it's obviously just a lot to put on her too, mentally as well. And I totally agree with everything that you were saying there, Kaysen. She's definitely going to have to take on several different roles, as it appears, even though she truly is only libero for the Redbirds. But shifting now, Nikayla Rogers was a key component in keeping ISU in the match at several points during the game last night. She had a career-high kills of 14. What should the Redbird fans be looking for her for the rest of the season?
I think they should look for her to get more involved. Coach Matters was really, really happy with her performance in post-game yesterday, and it's something that she's been wanting to do for a while, was get Nikayla the ball more and get her involved a little bit. We saw it a little bit against Miami on Friday, but yesterday Hannah Reichensberger did not play. She didn't get into the game, and it was just Nikayla and Kennedy up front, and I thought she looked great. She really dominated the second set. I think they started to adjust to her a little bit as the game went on, because eventually Caitlin Little surpassed her for total kills on the match.
Mm-hmm.
But at one point it looked like the Nikayla Rogers show out there
for sure.
She's a great, talented player. The dominant up front three blockers of Guest, Reichensberger, and Rogers is going to be a really, really solid rotation. And then playing a 6-2 is going to be really, really important to help get those three equal playing time and make sure all three of them have a chance to make some impact.
Yeah, and as someone that was a former middle, seeing Rogers right now is, like, incredible. We mentioned several times during the broadcast last night how it just looks like she's on a trampoline getting all those different hits and just trying to set up her team the best that she can and finding those gaps in the court. So definitely need to be keeping an eye out more for freshman Nikayla Rogers out there. Lastly, like I mentioned earlier, Illinois State plays in the University of Illinois later on today. What are going to be some of the keys for winning that match today, Kaysen?
Going to need to come out and play a little bit sharper than they did against Cincinnati. Hopefully their warm-ups look a little bit better. Just playing their game, playing the way that they can, staying aggressive at the service line. we talked a lot about this weekend, you know, the Redbirds' tendency to make those errors behind the line. And when you're as aggressive as they are with serving the ball, you're going to have to give up some of those sometimes. But a little bit cleaner there. Good, solid blocking up front. IU has some really, really good players.
Mm-hmm. They're a strong team.
They are a really, really good team. They beat Cincinnati 3-0, so this is definitely going to be, in my opinion, the Redbirds' toughest task of the weekend, especially coming off back-to-back losses. So tighten it up, good blocking up front, good shot decisions, and see what they can do.
Well, thank you so much, Kason, for coming on today. I know you're very busy, and I'm sorry for taking you away from the Bears game.
It's not a problem. Not a problem.
We'll be right back shortly after this quick break with other ISU sports scores.
News now on 103.3 WZND.
Welcome back to Second Look. Yesterday, ISU football defeated Eastern Illinois 42-30. Wanker is right, scored an impressive 3 touchdowns for the Redbirds. The team's next match is set against North Alabama at home on Saturday.
The Illinois State women's cross-country team earned first place in the 6K event at the Redbird Invite on Friday morning. The men's team finished in second place for the 8K. Friday's event featured various Midwest teams.
Illinois State junior Tin Ostra was named as the Summit League Men's Tennis Scholar of the Championships by the league office on Friday. The award is presented to the athlete possessing the highest cumulative undergraduate GPA participating at each of the Summit League's championships. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Second Look. Today we talked about the Phi Theta Kappa International Honor Society, roadwork safety initiatives, and your local news and sports. For Second Look, I'm Caitlin Wittes.
And I'm Rachel Deerfield. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday, everyone.
This has been WZND's Second Look. Catch more WZND in-depth news every Sunday at noon with WZND's Bird's Eye View and Second Look. For more WZND news, find us online at WZND.com.